Okay, good morning. We're holding Me'ila, Daf Yates, Ben Aleph. We're five lines into the Gemara. Amar Mar. Yesterday we quoted Daf Yates, a long brisa that basically the whole Amid that discussed the different Ribuyim and Dinim by Me'ila. It compared Me'ila to Saita, the word Mal by Saita, used the word Mal by Avodah Zarah, and it used the word Mal also. It says Chet Chet from Truma to say to Mila, so we learn that Dina from Truma to Mila as well. So the Mar made a whole bunch of drushes from Mal, the double lashon of Timo Mal, and now we're going through some of these drushes and comparisons from the Bryce. Amamar. Nefesh, first of all, the Bryce says the word Nefesh, which taught me, Echad Yachad Bechad Nasav Yachad Meshuach. When it says Nefesh, that's Kisim Amal, it comes to include these Dina apply to a regular Yachad, a Nasi, a king, or a Kayim Mashiach, a Kayim Gadol. Sheikh Omai asked, what would I have thought? Pshita Nefesh Ksev. Meaning the Mar's question is that once the Pasuk says the word Nefesh, not Pshita without the word Nefesh necessarily, right? That's what, again, this is Lashem Me'ila being a little bit different. Once the Pasuk says Nefesh, how else would I teach it? What is the Brisa coming to add to the simple teach of the Pasuk? So again, the Gemara is not asking on the Pasuk why I need the word Nefesh. The Gemara, the way we're understanding it, is asking on the Brisa, why did the Brisa need to tell me that Nefesh is telling me all types of individuals, why would I think different? Mal de Tame answers the Gemara. I would have thought, Amar Achmana, Vashem Hite Mimenu, Al Zar, the Pasuk says, that which is Zar puts on him, this Shemen, and Hai Lav Zarhu, these people are not called Zars. Why? The Kohen Gadol and the Melech are not called Zars because they've already used this Shemen HaMishcha, they've used it before to be anointed as Kohen Gadol / King. It's already been used for them. Kamash Bolan, that no, that Lagabe now, Lagabe using this, now that they're not, now that there's no longer a need for them, it's called Mila for them as well. They considered a Zar now that it's no longer necessary. Vaksha, and therefore the subject directly to Mila, and they're being Kabarash Milas and the Chayav HaChemish. Vaksha Rachmanos, now the Mark explains, why do we compare the Din of Mila in a Pasuk? We compared it to Saita, and a Pasuk we compared it to Vajazara, and then we did a Chet Gzer Shava to Truma. The Pasuk compares the Din of Me'ila, uses the comparison to Saita, comparison not by Dezara, and it makes like Zer Shava to Truma. The Gemara explains why. The Saita, it compares to Saita, teach you Afagab Le Pagam, even though he was not Pagim. Pagim means, again, deteriorating the value. He was not Pagim by Saita, the Baal was not Pagim. Why was the Baal not Pagim by Saita? Because we know the Din of Saita is, it says in the Pasuk, Mabal De Ishech. If a woman strays and has relations, Mabal De Ishech, separate from her husband, we learn from there it's got to be that she once had relations with her husband, and then the Mayim, the Saita waters could check. If she never had relations with her husband, even though Avada, she's still straying, Avada still considered an Isser, Avada, she was over on Eishes Ish, but the Din of Saita doesn't apply over there, the waters won't check. So since she already had relations with the husband, she's no longer Basula. So it's not considered a Pagam, obviously it's he's defiling her. Obviously, he's being over nisser, but it's not considered a pagam because she already was a bull anyway. So we see over there, even though it's not like pagam, it still applies din of seita. Hekdesh nami nasa tabas biyada mala. If she puts a ring from hekdesh on her finger, even though she's not deteriorating the value of the hekdesh oil, the ring we spoke out in the Mishnah the other day, the ring is not something that loses value when you put it on. Even so, it's still going to be Mila, just for the benefit. So again, just like by Saita, there's no depreciation, there's no deterioration, and it's still a Yaver. So to Behegdash, there's going to be Mila. Kiach Shrechman Levichavim, when the Torah compares the Mila to Avodah Zarah, what's it teaching you? A separate category. Tadis Beishinui, Behegdash Nami, so Ad Debika Vikardim V'Yivkam. So by Avodah Zarah we spoke yesterday, that was the comparison. We spoke, there's two types of Mila. There's Mila where you're just benefiting, and there's Mila where you might see Mirishas Hekdesh, even without benefit. So two opposite cases. One case I'm benefiting, and one case I might switch Hekdesh. We spoke yesterday as well, within benefiting, there's benefiting with deterioration, and there's benefiting without deteriorating an item. It depends. An item that's subject to deterioration, you need to benefit and deteriorate it. An item that's not subject to deterioration, it lasts for a long time, that you just benefit alone without deterioration is enough. That's all on the side of benefiting. There's a separate form of Me'ila, which is the Meitzi Mirshas Hekdesh. That we learn from Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah Nebuch Klai Yisrael was Meitzi from the Rishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They Meitzi themselves, and they went to the Rishus of Avodah Zarah. So too, we're comparing that. That's a form of Me'ila as well. But the more here sticks in three extra words, which is not really relevant to this. It's very relevant, I should say. But it's not really part of this conversation. We're just trying to show there's a form of Me'ila of the Meitzi Rishus. The more now just sticks in three words and says, Ad the Bika Bekardim, until the borrowed, he uses the axe to chop wood. What do you mean? He took the axe out of Hekdesh, that should be enough. We're saying, you know, there's a separate element, there's a side point over here, that if I lend you, let's say, an item, The halacha is the dine sheila, according to some shitas, only apply once you start to use the item. The fact that you took it is not yet enough. The dinim, the full din of having a din of a sheil, of being a borrower, having in your possession, is only if you actually started using it. So we're just applying over here too, when one takes it from Hegdish, the axe, to chop wood, only when he starts to chop the wood is that considered the real Haitzah Mershus Hegdish. Okay, it's a side din, to the greater point, that there's a separate form of Mila being Maitzah Mershus Hegdish, separate from the Hana per se. Similar, yeah. Yeah, very, very similar. Akshar Achmana le Truma. Now, the Torah, the third comparison was, this was the Gzir Sheva, Chet to Truma, to teach you, Mach Truma, Kiyechel, just like Truma when you eat it. So, that's while you're eating it, that's when you destroy it, that's when you have to pay a fifth to the Kayan for taking his Truma. So, Prat Lamazik, which comes to exclude in case you just damage it. You're eating it, you're benefiting it from it, that's when you gotta pay. If you damage Truma, happens to be, you won't have to pay. Even though you damage the stream, you have to pay. So Rabbi Hakdash Nami spoke to that also yesterday. Again, everything the last of explaining here really is elaboration on the Bryce. We didn't speak out this nuance, but that's the Marza saying the specific details that I learned from each din. We learned from Shuma. We learned actually a few din from Shuma yesterday. We also learned Shlichut Aveir. We learned other din as well. We'll see further. It has to be Kechad. But fine. But one din was saying right now from Shuma is, Rabbi Hakdash Nami, called Varachila, he mazli pater. Whatever is Varachila, when you damage it, you pater. If you don't eat it, you pater. The Farshim actually take a little bit of issue with this Lashon. That by Hekdash also, he's saying, whenever it's Barachila, if you damage it, you pater, only if you eat it, you chayev. Sounds like, if it's not a Barachila, if it's not a food, and you took it from Hekdash, and you damaged it, you would be chayev. So some Farshim point out, Avadas Lavdavka. Shuma was a Barachila, so he's saying also this, whatever it's a Barachila, if you don't eat it, if you damage it, you're going to be pater. But if it's not a Barachila, if you don't use it, rather you damage it, you're also going to be pater. Just was saying Barachila, because that was the scenario by Shuma, that is one of the Malchus Farshim, someone to say. Otherwise, let's leave it at that. Okay. Zakti Marvaitim. Ketzav, we said in the Mishnah, what's a case of benefiting from something which does not have deterioration? Ketzav, nasna ketala. If you took a ring, or a necklace or a ring, or someone drank from a gold cup of Hekdesh, these are all things that don't really deteriorate. So the halacha is that once they have a prut is worth of hana, then they're over on Mila. You tell me gold is not something which deteriorates. David the Kalsay the Nun was a very wealthy guy, and the gold of his daughter, unless he gave them a big dowry of gold, and the gold that he gave them, lechazal. What happened was they weighed it when they first got married, and they weighed it till sometime later, a year later, whatever it was, they weighed something later, and it was weighed less. It clearly was real. Not slippage, but real, whatever the word is, real deterioration, evaporation. Some of the gold had fallen off. So how are you telling me that gold doesn't deteriorate? Amalei, Dilma Dahav is a few shells with the gears over here, but the message is generally the same. So if Zvit said back, Dilma Dahav Drami Kalasechu, maybe it's like the gold, Nun's daughter-in-laws, their gold is treated like the gold that your daughter-in-laws were treated. So there's two ways to understand this. One way to understand it is simply that they, just like your daughter-in-laws are a little bit casual with their gold, so too Nun's daughter-in-laws were a little casual with their gold. And therefore, because they treated it so, like, flippantly, it deteriorated and depreciated in value. But in Achami, if they would have treated more carefully, it wouldn't deteriorate. So the gold cup of Hegdish wouldn't deteriorate just by using it unless you're specifically lax with it. That's one malach. Another way to explain this actually is that he was, what are you going to say?
I read it.
Oh, that they were commenting on the quality of the gold. That what? That maybe the reason why that gold is deteriorating is because it's not really full gold. It's a mixture. It's a blend. It's not really gold. Gold wouldn't just deteriorate like that. It's another material mixed in. It's cheaper. It's blended. And therefore, maybe that's what's deteriorating. Like the gold you gave your daughter-in-laws, that also was a little bit of a blended gold. Maybe that's why. That's question. That was response one. V'ayid. Furthermore, nidle ikka nene upagam la'altar la'aylam ilekia pegima. And furthermore, the Mishnah, when it says, Bechlal, your question again, this gets back to, I was saying, not sure when they waited the first time and the second time was, but the Mishnah, we said also, we said, eventually, everything deteriorates, eventually. Even something that can last for a long time will eventually deteriorate. We spoke out the din of something that you have to benefit from and deteriorate it, because something that deteriorates is something that has a much more limited amount of usage and deteriorates on a faster scale, on a faster pace. Something which lasts for a very long time. Of course, it also deteriorates, but lasts for a long time. That already, we don't go based on deterioration, we just go based on benefit. We spoke about the difference, like this, articles of clothing, perhaps, those have a year's worth of usage, 2 years' worth of usage, 50, 100, 200, something like that, of course you go based on deterioration. But something which could have 1,000 usages or 1,500 usages, the fact that it eventually deteriorates, that won't go into our cheshbon. Okay. And therefore, don't be right for Nun's daughter's gold that eventually weighed less, because everything eventually deteriorates. That's not a kasha. Hanan mechatas. We said in the Mishnah, if one benefits from mechatas while it's alive, he only commits mila if he had a prutas worth of mana. Once it's dead, so we said that's already, once it's dead, it's kasha shemesu. There's no mila daraisa. There is mila b'darabana, but yenena, any ana, yoivra mila, because it's mila b'darabana, it's not being used for carbon anymore. So there's mila b'darabana, any, it's no more deterioration, no more anything. So whatever you have, you benefit, you have ana, you chayav mila. But when it's alive, only if it deteriorates. Then we asked, we actually remember the mission, we pointed out the Marzen, speak out what we said yesterday. We asked, when it's alive, why do you need deterioration? It's not when it's alive, a carbon is not meant for its value. Deterioration is typically something which has a value, and every time you use it, it deteriorates. So you have to not just benefit a pruta, you have to deteriorate the value of a pruta. But if this is, you, what's a carbon meant for? A carbon. It's being going to be used as an animal on the Mizbeach. If you make it a drop weaker, is it any less of a carbon? No. So deteriorating it plays no role in the status of the carbon. And therefore, what should be the deciding factor whether you mile, if you benefit a pruta or not? Says the Gemara, Michti. It's no different than a cup of zav. Not in the sense that it doesn't deteriorate and it can't go down in value. A person could use an animal and weaken it and go make it go down in value. But value is not, doesn't play a role here because it's not meant for its value. It's meant for a carbon. And therefore, it should be the same as a kesh zav that we don't care about. We don't focus on deterioration. We focus on benefiting a pruta. It's funny that we use that as an example. It's really, it's a different reason why we only need a benefit of a pruta without any deterioration. But it, the bottom line is, it's another case where you don't need deterioration. Amra, Papa, Babalas Mum, Askinan, we're talking about a Babalas Mum. Simple answer, we're talking about, again, we spoke about that on Shabbos, I believe, we're talking about a Babalas Mum. Since the animal is a Babalas Mum, it's no longer fit for Mizbeach. What's it fit for? To sell it and use the funds to buy a new carbon. It's strictly now a mummanistic thing at this point. It's mummanistic hegdish. As a kedusha, I mean, eskich is a kafol, so I shouldn't say that. It's still disur gizan avayda, even if you redeem it. But the point is, its main purpose serves strictly now for the monetary value, and therefore, if you depreciate the value, that's when you on every mila, anything short of deteriorating the value will not be every mila. Zok the Mishnah, top of Ambez. Nene kechatzi pruta. If one is nene from a chatzi pruta, upag mechatzi pruta. So he took a half from hekdesh. He had a benefit of half a pruta, and then he went and was pagim it by a half a pruta. So it's two separate half prutas, and the question is this going to combine to give him a shea pruta for mila? Or he had a pruta zana from what he had a shea pruta zana from one item, and he had a pagam of shea pruta in another item. Remember, we spoke out in a case where you need pagam, you need a benefit and deteriorate the value of both by a pruta. He did that, but in two separate items. There's no meila, even if he had a total of a shavapruta, or he had almost two shavaprutas, one in this item, one in that item, it's not meil until he has the benefit, and the, again, we're talking about a case where you need deterioration, something which deteriorates, you know, no meila, until you have both the benefit and the deterioration in the same item of a shavapruta. By the way, it could be the same shavapruta, it could be the nut that he had, is the shavapruta, that's, so it's funny. You have a case where you benefit a pruta and you deteriorate another pruta separate and you're not mael because it's two separate items, but you have a case where your deterioration and your ana was the same pruta and you would be mael. Okay. Ein mael acha mael b'mikdashim, says the Mishnah, there's no mila after mila b'mikdashim. Meaning once someone's over mila, the act of mila takes it out of the status of hekdesh and becomes a chulin, and then any subsequent person would have over mila, except there's some exceptions. Except ella, behema, or klisharas b'vad. Except for behema or klisharas. A behema, a carbon, that was specifically a carbon. It was designated as a carbon, as opposed to, let's say, kachay klushas damim, monetary klusha. It was designated as a carbon, or klusharis. The halacha is, in those cases, a person could be mal multiple times. Let's explain. Ketzad. Rachav gabi mehema, if a guy wrote on mehema of shlamim, that was designated for a carbon. V'bachavir v'rachav, and his friend came and wrote on it afterwards. V'bachavir v'rachav, and another guy came and wrote on it. Kulan malu the omayel. Shas l'kais shazav, one drink from a cup of zav, that was designated for the base of Migdash. Another guy came and drank from it. Another fellow came and drank from it. Kulamalu, again, all three of them are mal. Talash minachatas, if one plucked here from achatas, plucked wool. Vavachavir, Vitalash, another one came and plucked wool. Vavachavir, Talash, another one came and plucked wool. They all were nana, pruta, and deteriorated value. And they, I shouldn't say deteriorated value, I take it back. I'm talking about achatas, carbon. But they all benefited a pruta from this animal. Kulamalu, they're all Avram Ila because the act of me'ila on a behema or on a klisharis is not meitzi lechulin. If it's not meitzi lechulin, it's still around for someone else to be mal. Rebbe Eimer, Rebbe says, kol davar she'en le'pidyon, anything which doesn't have pidyon, yesh b'malchamal. Rebbe says a klal. Whenever something is not subject to opinion, being able to be redeemed, then it will be subject to having a din of mila chamila. The question, of course, is, that's the case that the Tanagama said. A carbon subject to a pidyon if it's balmum. But at face value, a regular healthy carbon, you can't be paid it. Klisharis, you're not paid it. So what is Rebbe adding to the Tanakhama? They're saying anything which doesn't have a pidyon, you have mila after mila and a chami. What are the Tanakhama's different? The Gemara is explain where the machlekes. Let's see. Mani Masisin, who's the author of Mishnah Nechemi, it's Nechemi Tanya. Eimah Chamayel, El Beim Bavad. We learned in the Baisa. Tanakhama says, Eimah Chamayel, El Beim Behema. Only Beim is Malchamayel. He's coming to exclude, obviously, not Klisharis. This Tanakhama. From Nechemi Aimer, Behema of Klisharis, Behema of Klisharis, both have a din of Mila Chamila, like our Mishnah. My time in Tanakhama was spent in Tanakhama, said only by Behema, because the Parsha, the Alachas of Mila were written specifically in the Parsha of Behema of a carbon, to Ksiv, Be'el Hashem, was written by El Hashem, and therefore we learn, Dafka by El Hashem, there's din of Mila after Mila, but everywhere else not. Everywhere else there's no din of Mila Mechamila. From Nechemi Amalach, Behema tell you, Kavachemer, Kavachemer, Imachere may be the Klishasan, if a klisharis can bring a chayrim to its kedusha, who atzmi like kol shekain. So he said like this. You're right. The Torah spoke about the din of mila by behema, and if we know that behema has mila chamila, klisharis, the Tanakhama says, it's excluded, like everything else excluded. Such a mechemi, klisharis can't be excluded. Klisharis makes other things holy. If it can make other things holy, it can certainly retain its own holiness after someone's mile, or give itself its own holiness after someone's mile in it, in order to give a status of mila chamila. Okay, so that's the source of the machlekes from Nechemia and the Tanakhama there, and our Mishnah clearly goes like from Nechemia. Says the Gemara Vayter, quoted the next part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Aimer, called Kol Davar Le'Pidyon, anything which doesn't have redemption, has mila after mila, namely, that would mean like a case of a behema. Hayin Tanakhama, ask the Gemara, so how's he arguing the Tanakhama? What's the difference between Rebbe and the Tanakhama? Amar Rav Ekebeno Eitzim. The difference is, Eitzim that were designated for the Mizbeach. If one was Makdish, Eitzim for the Mizbeach, the shayla is, what's the status of that eitzim? Now, first of all, a person typically eitzim is used for burning, for wood to help make melaracha, to make burning mizbeach. There's also a concept that a person can make a wood a carbon, just like you could donate an animal or a bird or a mincha. You can also donate wood as a carbon eitzim, not just wood to burn the other karbanis to be the atzim racha. What can be a karban? Let's see. Amar Rav, ikibinav eitzim, the tanar abanam, ha'imar arayla eitzim. What if a guy says it's ami, he makes a pledge, it's on him to bring eitzim. La'yivchas m'shei gizrim, he shouldn't give less than 2 gizrim. 2 gizrim is a standard amount of wood that they would put on the mizbeach on a regular day, on a regular morning, or an evening, to be fuel for the maracha. So that's the standard amount. So a person says pledge to bring eitzim, he's got to bring the standard amount of 2 gizrim. And it's really 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Fine. And we say it in Karbanos in the mornings, right? Abayav is Masad to say the Racha, right? Fine. Rebbe Aimer, Eitzim, Karban Ha'ein. Rebbe says, no! When a guy pledges Eitzim, he doesn't mean to give the wood that's going to be the fuel for the fire. What does he mean to pledge? A carbon. Eitzim himself is a carbon. Utunim Melach, and like any other carbon, needs a little bit of salt. Vutunim Tnufa, and you need to do Tnufa. There's a shot on the gears here. If it's tnufa, someone to say it needs a gusha. The other gears we have elsewhere in Menachas is tuna gusha. Tnufa means waving. Hagusha means touching the side of his back. Okay, either tnufa or gusha, but it's treated like a pasha. We switch the gears to hagusha. It needs hagusha. Okay, fine. Like a mincha, like a regular mincha. So Rebbe says it's a carbon. So that's the machlekes. The machlekes is according to Rebbe. Now that was saying that the wood is a carbon, so this wood, if it's a carbon itself, carbon, you can't just redeem a carbon, right? So even a behemoth only can redeem once it gets a mum, but still gets a mum, you can't redeem it. So wood would be another category of something you can't redeem, and therefore wood would have mi'ila achar mi'ila. So that was the question. What does Rebbe argue when he comes to say, ein mi'ila chamila? What's he arguing on? Really, it's a side machlekes. Rebbe holds when a person pledges wood, wood's a carbon, and Rebbe Lishtas said, wood's a carbon, would hold, there's yesh mi'ila chamila by wood as well. Okay, Amar Rav Ladivi Rebbe, according to Rebbe, Eitzim Tun Meitzim, according to Rebbe, nice kishmaka irony, the wood needs wood. Someone's got to put up Gizri Eitzim for the carbon of Eitzim. Avamar Papa Ladivi Eitzim, Ladivi Rebbe, Eitzim Shikha Kamitza, this one gets a little more exciting. According to Rebbe, that holds Eitzim as a carbon, what type of carbon is it? It's like a mincha. So a mincha needs Kamitza. That's funny, certain menachas get fully burnt. Right, so like a mechus kayin, mechus kay mashiach. So you don't do kamitza unless you fully burn it. Interesting that it was saying that eitzim wouldn't be, I guess eitzim is being punished by Yisrael. It's saying so it wouldn't be that type of that type of donation, therefore it needs kmitza. You're making faces. How on earth do you do kmitza on Eitzim? Well, guess what? A lot of menachas were done with loaves of bread. Right? You make loaves of bread, and then you, or big crackers, and you have to kmitza. You do kmitza. Crackers are easier. Matzah easier. How do you do kmitza? They would pasasun. They'd break up the bread into pieces, and then be able to do kmitza. Well, guess what? Do the same thing with the wood. You have to break the wood into smaller pieces and then be able to do kmitza. That's the answer. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa comes and gives another pshat in the Machlekes. In the Machlekes, Rav Papa just commented on the Divrei Rebbe about the din of wood, but he says, I have another explanation of the Mishnah besides what we just said. Rav Papa Amar, Kachim is Be'ach Tmimim, V'nasa Baal Mumim. A Kachim is Be'ach Tmimim, we kind of referenced this before, we hinted at it, and that became Baal Mum. V'ava V'shachta Nekam Enayo. So it's, let's say you have Kachim is Be'ach that got a mum, it was Tam. It got a mum, and you were over, and instead of redeeming them like you're supposed to, and use the money to buy a replacement carbon, you shechted it. So this is not a question, this is an explanation. V'atanya, and we learned the b'risa, kachim is b'chtimim, v'nas b'amum, and kachim is b'chtimim, that became b'amum. V'avar, so they had a full kedusha as a guf, kachim is b'ach, and v'avar shechted, and you shechted them before redeeming it. Rebbe, ayim yikvu, what do you do with it? You just bury it. Chama yipad, chama say, you can still redeem it. Meaning, you blew it, you should have redeemed it alive, but you didn't redeem it alive, right? You didn't do it when it's alive. Still, redeem it now when it's dead. What's the Machlekes Tolim, by the way? You all should remember this from our redemption days, and certainly in Zvachim, you read Machlekes as well. There's a concept that when you redeem something, what do you need to do? Amad Devaracha, very good, very good. You need to stand, you need Amad Devaracha. You need to have Amad Devaracha. You need to stand it up and evaluate it, right? Even though you could evaluate it technically while it's lying down. There's a din, Amad Devaracha. There's a Machlekes, if we're makbid on that, once you can't stand anymore, once it's already shechted, and we makbid. Rebbe's saying, we're makbid, therefore, bury it, you can't redeem it. And the Chacham say, you can still redeem it. So here's a case, the Tan of our Mishnah holds, like the Chachamim, that it can still be redeemed in this case. Since it can still be redeemed, it could still, it's something which is not going to be subject to Me'ilah, because anything which can be redeemed doesn't have Me'ilah. And Rebbe, who says anything which can be redeemed doesn't have Me'ilah, is agreeing in concept to that klal, but he argues, says, this is an item, he holds, I have an additional item that can't be redeemed. Kachim Mizbeach, they got a mum that was shechted before redemption, can no longer be redeemed, and therefore there would be me'ilah to me'ilah on this, according to Rebbe, according to Chachamim, there would not be me'ilah to me'ilah. That's another example. Let's just read one more line, just to read the next Mishnah, right, just for the halacha of the day. Natal Evan Akarish, Hagdash Reza Mutlemal. If a person, we've properly finished the daf, if a person takes a stone or beam of Hagdash, he was not over on me'ilah. Now, that's a little bit shver to what we've learned in the past. We've been saying that if a person takes something from Magdish, even without using it, if he takes it into his domain, we spoke earlier about perhaps having to use an item which is meant for use, but a beam, if he takes it, take possession, the Mishnah says there's no Mila. The Gemara is going to explain, we're not going to see this today, we're not going to finish the Mishnah even, we'll stop over here. The Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about, it's a famous Mishnah quote a few places in Shas, the Gizbar. The Gizbar, if he took it, so he's not mile, because when he takes it, even if he gives it to somebody, he's not mile. Right, if he takes it for himself, he's not mine because it's in his domain anyway. It's, it gives birth like the kind of the balabas. It's not for his personal usage, but just taking it to his rishos doesn't change anything because it already was in his rishos. Only when he gives it to someone else and puts it into a second rishos, if the gizbar gives it to you, then he's mild. The gizbar is mild. By giving it to you, the other person's not mild because now it's chulin, he can use it, but the gizbar is mild because now he's being made to rishos hegdish by giving it to the recipient. But the gizbar himself is not considered mild because he is the rishos. He is hegdish. He's rishos hegdish. Which makes big enough news, as far as discussed, that this is a raya to what the status of a gizbar is. Halach is, you can only take chubas and maestros if you're the bailam, right? Or if you know you've shown you have the bailam's permission. But if I'm not the bailam, if it's your produce, and I want to come and take mila, chuma from your produce, unless I have your permission, it doesn't work. So what happens when hegdish buys grains for their own karbanos? They have to buy grains for various kabbalists. Who takes shrimps and maestros? If no one owns it, no one takes shrimps and maestros. If we view it as if the gizbar is kind of a balabayas, it's his rishus, then it makes sense to take shrimps and maestros. Says the Einig Yantiv, that based on our Gemara, based on this type of logic, it would make sense that he's balabayas, and he could take shrimps and maestros as the balabayas of Hekdesh. About this, not his personally, but he's considered like the rishus of Hekdesh, and therefore take shrimps and maestros. And he then writes, and then the Truvi found that is Yishalmi, says black and white, Yishalmi Trumas, Perak Aleph. Halacha Aleph, right in the beginning, says that when it comes to Hegdish, the Gizbar is the one that takes Trumas and Maestas off of Hegdish, which was beautiful with this idea in Agamar. We'll pick it up in the moment.